2019. This is the First United Methodist Church, and you're listening to us on Podbean. Happy Father's Day. I'm a father, and I am proud to be a father. I would ask that you would pray with me now. Thank you, Lord, for your loving grace. Have us worship you today with open hearts, open minds, and open doors. Let us hear your word and receive your word through loving grace. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, we pray physical strength in her body, in her legs, in her knees. Lord, you just bless her and you give her strength in the name of Jesus. We remember Librand this morning, and Lord, we lift him before you. We pray, Father, that you would bless him, that you would heal him, that you would strengthen him, and Lord, you would restore him, that his whole nervous system, Lord, would work the way that it's supposed to work. And Lord, bless. And I pray you'd sustain Kathy as she cares for him and his family, Lord, as they care for him. Father, we pray blessings and encouragement on that family. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray, I remember the Eisenhowers this morning. We pray for Danny Eisenhower, Jesus, that you would bless him. His first Father's Day without Janet. Lord, that you would just bless him. You would surround him with your comfort, your peace, and your love. We pray for Gabby, Lord, and that whole family. Lord, we lift them before you. called me to be a mother and to nurture. And all it doesn't matter if we are biologically fathers or mothers. He's calling all of us. So I want to look at that. What does that look like to be fathers, to be mothers in the faith? What does that practically look like? In Matthew chapter 28, the last words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, I'm going to start reading in verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the ends of the age." What does it look like for us to be fathers and mothers in the faith? And we don't have to be, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, "Well, I'm only in my 20s or I'm only this." You know what? And this was a very humbling thing when a preacher first told me this. They were like an old woman, older women. In Titus chapter 2, Paul's exhorting the older men to disciple the younger men and the older women to disciple the younger women. Older women in that time were women in their late 20s. I was like, oh. So if you've known the Lord and you're walking with him, and again, we're going to look at that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're like 50 or older. No, it's younger. It's younger than that. But what does that look like? What does that look like? The first characteristic of what it looks like to be a father or mother in the faith is we need to be transformed first. One of the things that we've made a huge mistake in the body of Christ in the United States is we've tried to take up the mantle of social justice, or we've tried to do programs, we've tried to do things without our lives, without ourselves being transformed first. And those are important things. We need to do those things, but we need to have an encounter with Jesus first. We ourselves need to encounter him. Jesus says in John chapter 3, he says, "You must be born again. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And later in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come." We cannot be the body of Christ that God's called us to be. We cannot be fathers and mothers and nurturers in the faith if we ourselves have not been born again, if we ourselves have not encountered the living God, if we ourselves are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And the most probably dramatic example of that is the Apostle Paul and how he was transformed. In Acts chapter 7, verse 58, Paul was overseeing the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. It says in Acts 7:58 that they came and laid their cloaks before Saul. And Saul was a persecutor. He was a murderer of Christians. He was convinced he was right. He was a racist. And he hated Christians. And he was going after them. And yet, what does Jesus do? Jesus does not hate him. Jesus comes to him on the road to Damascus and appears to him in a blinding light. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And he is struck blind. He has this powerful, powerful encounter with Jesus. And unless we our comfort zones, and we need to be willing to go because the gospel is at stake. The kingdom of God is at stake. Had Ananias not gone, the Lord would have sent someone else, but the Lord wants to use you, and the Lord wants to use us, and may we yield because the Lord's going to stretch us. He wants us to get out of our comfort zones, and Ananias is obedient, and Saul is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's nurtured in the faith. And that's not all. You go over then to jump down to verse 26 of Acts chapter 9. Well, let's go back a little bit. It's too good. So let's go back to 19. Acts chapter 9, verse 19. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And I love this. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues. He is so, his mind has been completely, he's totally repented of the way he thought, and his eyes have been opened, and he's the one who had been murdering Christians is now a Christian, and he's now proclaiming Jesus. He's saying he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? So like, this isn't real, man. This is a trap. But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in the basket. When he came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. You notice the theme here? Bold, bold, bold. Verse 29, and he spoke and disputed among the Hellenists that they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So Barnabas, God raises up Barnabas, and his name, Barnabas, his name literally means son of encouragement. And the 11 apostles, they don't believe that Saul is legit. They don't believe he's real. But Barnabas comes alongside and he nurtures Saul in the faith. And he comes alongside him. And Barnabas was an advocate for Paul. He said, hey, I've seen this guy. I've seen what he's been doing. I've seen the fruit of his ministry. I've seen what he's doing. This guy is legit. And so Barnabas was an advocate. Who is God calling you to be an advocate for? And all of us that are going to be mothers and fathers in the faith, we need a Barnabas. And I remember I was meditating this morning on the men in my life that have prayed for me, the men in my life that have nurtured me, the men in my life who have taught me. All of us need Barnabases in our lives. And God's called us to be Barnabases and to be advocates for and for others. So Barnabas was an advocate for Paul. Barnabas was an encourager to Paul. And Barnabas was a supporter for Paul. If you look in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, so Barnabas is with Paul in Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 13, they are together. They are in Antioch. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas encourager to Paul, a supporter to Paul, that number three on your outline is that Paul became a leader and superseded Barnabas now. And all of us, as we mentor younger men and younger women in the faith, we need to be willing to be, and Josh Atkins down at the Loft, I love his ministry down there, and one of the things that he says is he wants to be a trampoline for people to be raised up so that they can be ministers in the community, and being willing to just let people be a building block and nurture people so that they can become greater. And Barnabas was such an encourager. And how many of us are willing to be nurturers to the young ones? And if they are more gifted than we are, if they are have more faith than we do, that we just bless them and say, yes, go, 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 do what God's called you to do. And that is servanthood. That's being a humble vessel of Jesus Christ. And Barnabas is totally okay with that. And Paul then becomes a leader because he has been nurtured. He has been encouraged. He had men that came alongside him that didn't want to go. Ananias is like, Lord, I don't want to go pray for that man. And yet God used him. And God used Barnabas to come alongside. And so who are the people in your life that God may be calling you to? If you are a parent, if you are a mother or a father, the first is to your children. We need to love, and you know that. You need to love on them and nurture them and teach them. I shared in the Facebook Live this morning, I believe with all of my heart, there is no greater ministry on the planet than to be a mother and a father and get to nurture little ones in the faith. The great calling, and nurture those little ones. And in our culture, sadly, it's like the mothers and fathers have kind of given their kids to the church and think it's the church's responsibility to mentor and disciple those kids. And while we need to do that, it's the family's responsibility. Daddies, it's your responsibility to nurture your children. It's your responsibility to pray for your children, to disciple them, to give them the word of the Lord. Mothers, pray for your babies, and you do. But that's a family responsibility first. And it's an interesting promise in Malachi chapter 4, what was shared this morning. Malachi 4, verse 6, he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. If the family is destroyed and fathers and mothers are not searched, it's interesting that it says he will do that, lest he will come with a decree of utter destruction. If our families are destroyed, our nation is destroyed. If our families are destroyed, that's why the family is so important. And nurturing one another, encouraging one another, supporting one another. Paul became a leader and superseded Barnabas. In Acts chapter 15, verse 36, starting in verse 36, they've been on this journey. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them and had not gone with them. So John Mark had deserted them earlier. Verse 39. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So there's a separation there, but what's interesting, later on in Paul's ministry, they are reunited. And Barnabas and John Mark, and they're all together again. And I would submit to you that John Mark would not have been able to do that had Barnabas not gone and needed. Barnabas, being who he was, was an encourager for those that were left out, for those that, and we need that, church. We need people who are looking out for the fallen, who are looking out for those that have failed. And Barnabas was that. But Paul goes on, and he ministers powerfully in throughout the world. So in Acts chapter 16, then looking at that, he goes into Macedonia, goes into Europe. In Acts chapter 17, he goes into Thessalonica and into Greece. And then he goes into Corinth. And then he goes into Ephesus. And so so this word of the Lord is spreading throughout Europe. It's spreading throughout Asia. And God is moving powerfully through Paul. And so Paul, who was nurtured in the faith by Barnabas, nurtured, Paul becomes a nurturer then. And he goes out, and he's a leader, and he's ministering the gospel, and he's leading many people to Christ, and he's discipling them, and he becomes a father to them and nurture them. Number four in your outline is Paul became a leader, and he became a spiritual father to many. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is Paul's heart. And this is one of, may have been the very last letter that Paul wrote. And I want you to listen to his heart in this. He's talking to Timothy. He says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." And he's giving young Timothy, he's mentoring him, he is fathering him, he's giving us undivided hearts to fear your name. Lord, we would love as you love. We would weep, Lord, with what grieves your heart. And Lord, we would look for the broken. Lord, we would look for those that are on the outside. And Lord, we would have your heart and we would bring them in.